thank you very much indeed for joining me. Very much appreciate your company. It is very nice back to be at Talk TV Towers. We've got our wonderful sunrises and I've got to be honest with you, heating. I'm not going to lie. I'm a southern softie and I do need my heating rather than sitting in a cold exhibition centre. But what an interesting Labour conference it has been. Still going on. The final day is today with Angela Rayner giving the goodbye speech, but actually an awful lot of the focus, other than for Keir Starmer's speech yesterday, which, yeah, admittedly did go down very well, not just the party members, but indeed with many others as well. Most of the focus, let's be honest, has actually been on what's been going on in the markets. And once again, that is the focus today, as the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, has urged both the Prime Minister Liz Truss and the Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng to reverse that cut to the top rates of tax, talking about the unfunded £45 billion cut in taxes announced last Friday, warning that will create inequality, and they're looking at the situation. Virtually unprecedented, this sort of intervention, when it comes to a first world country as opposed to a sort of a banana republic making crazy decisions and seeing their inflation rate hitting 1,000%. But let's talk about that and all the other big news right now with Benedict Spence, who's a Conservative commentator and joining me all this morning. Good morning to you.
Morning, Julie. Are you okay?
I'm very well. Yeah, I'm very good. Very good. I can't do it. I can't. I'm terrible at acting.
Just need to acclimatise you slowly.
Can I point out he's allowed to do that because he's actually a Liverpool fan, and you did actually, you lived in Liverpool for many years.
I did, I lived there for a few years.
Do you know
years.
What? It's a beautiful city.
It's nice.
It is. Stop it.
I'll stop.
There will be letters. Don't send them to me.
I've lived there longer than I lived in London.
It really is. It is absolutely beautiful. It really is. Mm. Thank you very much for making us very, very welcome, the lovely, lovely good folk of Liverpool. Let's talk about the IMF. When we talk about, you know, unusual, it's not unprecedented, no. The IMF, but they're given their twopence worth at a perhaps unhelpful time.
Yes.
Whether or not one thinks that what the government announced on Friday was a good thing or a bad thing, got to be honest with you, not very keen on the IMF putting their tuppence worth in.
If they were actually trying to be helpful, they'd be saying a lot behind the scenes, but not in public. I think this is a very deliberate political intervention, not unlike, you know, the way that certain US presidents like to intervene every now and then, and issues like Brexit. That's what this is, effectively. Yeah. Whatever you think of Liz Truss's approach to economics in the short term, I don't think that this is something that is actually going to help the IMF's cause. I think, if anything, it's probably going to harden the resolve of the Tory party. You know, we've seen a little bit of wavering, a few people saying letters are already going in, potentially that's a little bit of hyperbole, but still, I don't think that that's actually going to convince Liz Truss actually that what she's doing is the wrong thing. Her whole shtick is about not doing the conventional thing anyway.
Yeah, and in fact we've had that response back actually, yes, that this is, you know, they're basically still signed up. I think it was Lord Frost, the former Brexit negotiator, Brexit minister, and saying that this, you know, they're basically still signed up to Gordon Brown economics. It is a fair point with the IMF. One is that it's currently run by a former EU vice president who, you know, I mean, come on, who are we kidding? They've got form. It is also a body that had absolutely no problem with all the banking deregulation and the absurd sort of boom situation we're in that led to the banking crash, which, as we've seen now, so would have been entirely predictable. They were just happy to say, all played along with that, and all the ratings agencies all played along with a complete lie about the housing, the boom in places like America.
Yeah.
They also seem to stay remarkably quiet when things like, oh, let's just shut down the world economy and have furlough schemes and similar in other countries and just pay people to do nothing. Nope, absolutely zip, de nada, no criticism of that. But on this, they criticise. Now, I don't agree with a lot of what the Chancellor, the Prime Minister announced last Friday. I genuinely don't understand why you're giving tax cuts to the richest people in this country. I don't think for a moment, and actually, I don't actually think that you should charge people 45 pence tax in the pound. I think that actually people have a right to keep more than, you know, I know you say it's less than half, but actually, once you had national insurance, on blah, blah, blah. But do I think that at a time of national crisis, when people are struggling to put food on the table, pay their bills, put fuel in the car, that you should be helping people on 150k? I mean, give me a break. Absolute nonsense. But that said, when they talk about unfunded tax cuts, I mean, talking about £2 billion, money down the back of the sofa.
Yeah, that's
for
the thing, isn't
government
it?
Spending. and the rest of it was reversing tax rises. So the national insurance rise. And again, tax on jobs should have been rushed. I always spoke out about that. The former Chancellor Rishi Sunak, I don't think, should have brought that in. But also the other taxes, the corporation tax. Again, you could argue either way on that one. It's no darn business of the IMF what our corporation tax rate is my view.
I mean, I understand. I'm with you. I think that they've done something that is,
it's a political intervention.
Very ambitious. It's very, but you know, whatever you, as I say, whatever you think about what Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng are doing, I think that the IMF represents a consensus, a sort of a global consensus, a Western global consensus about how things should be run. And you're right to say that actually that hasn't delivered us a great deal of economic growth in the last 10 years, which has contributed to the situation we currently find ourselves in. Now, whether or not you agree with what Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng are doing is beside the point. Quite clearly, this kind of staid, very sluggish approach to monetary policy, to running your economy, has not actually put us in the best situation. Many people argue it is essentially sort of bowing to the idea of managed decline of Britain as a power. It's saying that we cannot hope to compete, and we shouldn't try to hope to compete. And that's ultimately the key thing here. It's about us competing. Whether, you know, we are smaller than the EU, but we are trying to set ourselves up as something that is separate from the EU. If we continue down the path of where we've been going for the last 10 years, and that includes having a Brexit government in office, that will leave us essentially as a vassal either to the EU or the United States. Large, you know, bodies like the IMF like that. Yeah. They like that sense of order. So, you know, what we are trying
not
to do is throw
order,
a spanner
sense of control. It's everyone on the, it's Gordon Brown, put everyone on the payroll, working tax credits. There's an awful lot about, yeah, no, exactly. And but that's the thing. But it is about control. It's what the EU's about. It, you know, Ursula von der Leyen's threats to the Italian people. I mean, God, even if I wouldn't have voted for Giorgia Meloni, I'd have voted for Advent on principle because of the threat from Ursula von der Leyen. But we see this interference of international bodies. They fail to prevent any major crises. They fail to tackle when countries are going completely off. It's none of their business. This to me is this, we're in territory of sort of, you know, the way you can have a good old moan about your family and you can say, oh, you know, you can say, I can't believe, you know, X, Y did this. Someone else does it. It's like, whoa, 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 that's my family. And I suppose you saw in that territory. That said, I have to say, I think what's been going on in the last few days with Kwasi Kwarteng and Liz Truss, I mean, where are they for a start?
I mean, I would just like to say very quickly on the Giorgia Meloni thing, that is fascinating because who has been running Italy for the last years? Mario Draghi is the embodiment of an IMF kind of person, and
the
it hasn't worked at
exactly
all.
Exactly, the technocrats. But let's talk about what's happening here in terms of people's actual lives, because do we care what the IMF says? Well, I mean, it does have an impact in terms of, it can have an impact on policy and I suppose international perception. Again, an awful lot of what we buy, an awful lot of what we sell will actually come down to those international markets. And we know we are not immune. No man is an island. No island, it turns out, is an island. We are subject to these global trade winds, effectively. And we have seen, you know, the ratings agencies getting a bit itchy. We are looking at the interest rate rise, big concern in the markets. The cost of government debt, the cost of servicing that, is, you know, it's going from 1% rate to 4%. So we're selling the gilts from that. Look, it's all very well, but it means we're paying an awful lot more. Interest rates here could hit, now we're told now, 5.5% by November, 6% next year. These are huge numbers. Now, the key thing that people keep talking about is, well, it's nothing like where we were in 1990 with 15%. But because of people's, the ratio which people have mortgaged, so people used to have, what, you know, it was three, you could get a mortgage for 3.5 times your joint salary if you're a couple.
Yeah.
Well, now people are mortgaging for properties that cost you 10 times, 15 times their salary. They're having to take out huge mortgages. So
yes,
that sort of interest rate, when you add that, that would be a base rate. Add on to that, we are looking at just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds extra a month, not a year, a month. HSBC, Santander, the latest to suspend new mortgage deals yesterday alongside Halifax and others. And the Bank of England chief economist talking about how the bank will deliver in the next couple of months a significant monetary policy response. That means only interest rates going up. House prices could fall by 15%, which I mean, it's all going through.
I mean, the problem with a lot of this is you can blame Liz Truss all you want. These underlying factors, these pressures behind the dam have been building for decades. It's not sustainable. At some point, these things were going to come to a head. And so, yeah, the old revolutionary in me sort of sits there thinking, well, what did people think was going to happen? Sooner or later, there was going to be, you know, a reckoning.
And interest rates were always going to go up.
Yeah, house prices were going to have to, you know, potentially face dropping at some point because it's not sustainable that, as you say, people are having to take out mortgages that are many, many, many times their salaries, in some cases, potentially more than they're ever likely to earn when you, you know, factor in the fact that wages aren't rising at the moment. You know, so I know it's very difficult and lots of people will suffer, but what do people imagine were going to happen, that we could just keep on like this indefinitely?
I think that was the plan.
What a wonderful plan it was.
I think that was the plan.